Okay, so let's learn. With a Nashim B'Tanach Chabura, we might as well deal with Esther Malka being as how tis the season. It is the season, so we will deal with we will learn about her. There's such a fascinating, you know, treasure trove of understandings of the Megillah in Maseches Megillah on the 10th page, second half of the page, in that the rabbis really like record how they would start their talks, their classes on the Megillah. They're called like psichas, their introductions. They would start their shiurim on Megillah with a pasuk from psukim from all around Tanakh. It's very, very interesting, you know, how we classify like what the main the main message of the Megillah is, and sum it up with one pasuk. Like to sum it all up with one pasuk. And several of these introductions, one of which is the one I wanted to choose to deal with this week. Shmuel Bar Nachmani says, right? There's Pasach la Pischa la Hai Parshasa. So he would go and he would open his comments, open his talks on Purim with the following Pasach. Tachas ha na'atzutz ya'aleh b'varush. It's a pasuk from Yeshayahu, and it sounds actually like a discussion in horticulture. In the place of the Na'atzut, which is a spiky plant, Yaleh Barosh. Tachas hatzirpad, another spiky poison plant, yale hadas. So, there are these poisonous spiky plants, and in their place will come fragrant, nice plants. Right, the hadas, the myrtle branch, is this beautiful smell. The hadasim from the arba minim and sukkos. It's a wonderful, very very fragrant. Fragrant tree, and the people even smell it and use it when it's not sukkahs. They go and they bring it around their Shabbos. Some people have the custom of bringing it at their Shabbos table and to smell hadassim at their Shabbos table. So, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani explains that this pasuk is talking actually about the transfer of fortunes and the transfer of places between Haman and Mordechai and Esther and Vashti. Tachas ha'natzus tachas Haman ha'rasha she'asa atzmo avodazara dechzivu v'chol na'atzutzim v'chol nihululim ya'aleh v'rosh ze Mordechai sh'nekar rosh kol besamam. So the na'atzutz it says that Na'atzutz, the Midrash Darshan, he explains it as Avodah Zarah. Na'atzutz and Nihilulim are both synonyms for Avodah Zarah. In the place of the one who makes himself an Avodah Zarah will be placed Mordechai. Mordechai, one way of understanding Mordechai is Mordachia, Mordror. So Mordechai is called fragrant spices. Same with Esther is a fragrant spice. Mordechai is Barosh, is Rosh Besamim. All these are different monikers, different synonyms for Mordechai and more, Mir. There's a better word for Mir. Frankincense? No, it's more. Mir. Myrrh is more. It's more as Mir. But it's a fragrant spice. Like it says, Shenemar v'ata kachlecha b'samim rosh mor dror v'tergaminan mor dachi. Mor dachi, right? It's a play on the words. Mar dachi, Mordechai. Mar dachi, Mordechai. Tachas asirpad, Tachas Vashti Harisha Bas Beno Shel Nebuchadnezzar, the daughter of the son of Nebuchadnezzar. Shesarach Refidos Beis Hashem, Dechsiv Refidos Utahav, Yala Hadas. Will rise Hadas. Hadas is Esther, Esther Tzedekis, because as we all know, because she's Nikos Hadassah, Shinemar, Vahi Omenes Hadassah. And Mordechai raised Hadassah, and he's Esther, and Esther, Hadass is Esther. Vahel Hashem, Vahayel Hashem, Lashem Zu Mikra Megillah Laos Olam. And it will be for a name, it will be for Hashem, Lashem, which is Mikra Megillah. The Os Olam, for an eternal sign, Lo Yikoreth, that will not be cut off, and these are the days of Purim, as we know, days of Purim will not be forgotten, as the Pasuk said. So, in this tremendous piece of Drash, we took a Pasuk in Yeshayahu, and then said it's really about Megillas Esther. Right? It's really about Megillas Esther. The spiky poisonous plants are transferred in their place where we have these fragrant plants, and this is a story which is forever. The Midrash Shmuel Bar Nachmani is trying to explain to us like the underpinnings of what Megillas Esther is all about. So I wanted to look at one important diuk, one important close reading of these psukim for a second. And then we'll see maral. We'll see two different dimensions that emerge out of this concept of the sibuchim, the complications, and the hipuchim, the reversals of role which take place over the course of the Megillah. There's a lot of the changes over the course of a person's lot in life, changes back and forth in Megillah. There's a lot of ups and downs for the different people in Megillah. You have different roles there at the top, there at the bottom. There's a lot transpiring. So interestingly, I don't have to go over the entire story with Vashti with you. You know what happened at the height of the king's party. He calls for Vashti, she doesn't come out. It's another shear to understand why she doesn't come out, but she doesn't come out. And this is a slightly independent-mindedness that doesn't fly in the Persian Empire at the time. Right? The Persian Empire, they don't brook such things. So then the king calls a conclave what to do with Vashti, and it's decided Vashti's malchus will be taken from her. Her royalty will be taken to her. And this is what's said. Imal malach tov yetzei davar malchus milifana v'ikasev b'dase paras umadai v'lo yavor asher lo tavo vashti lifnei hamelach achashvesh umalchusa yiten hamelach l'rusa hatova mimena. So the suggestion is made that there should be a royal edict, and it should be written in the laws of Paras and Madai, and should never be removed, that Vashti shall not come before the king ever again, and her malchus the king should give to her fellow Reusa Hatova Mimena, who is better than her. Reusa Mimena, who is better, who is more worthy. Now, we talked about a little bit last week. I don't remember who was there at the shir last week, but last week on Tuesday, I showed this to you in passing, that this phraseology is not the first time we see this phraseology in Tanakh. In Sefer Shmuel, we read it last week in the Haftorah for Parsha Zachar. It says, "Vayisov Shmuel alechas veichazik bechnaf miilo veikareya veikara." Shmuel starts to walk past Shaul. As we know, Shaul was given the mission to wipe out Amalek. Shaul does not wipe out Amalek. He makes a mistaken understanding. Shmuel walks in front of him and turns and then tears Shaul's garment. And he says, Vayomer elav Shmuel, he says, in the same way that I tear this garment off of you, God is tearing the Malchus away from you. And he's giving it L'Reacha Hatov Mimeka. He's giving it to your fellow who is better than you. There's a tremendous, tremendous relationship between these two psukim. It's not just the fact that the words are very, very similar, as we see very, very closely, that it's the same thing to your fellow who is better than you. Right? We see that there's a connection of words, and the words are the same. It's a very, very close connection. That's to be certain. But as well, there's something deeper which is taking place as well. The roles of the people involved as well are it's very, very important that we understand what's happening. To begin with, we have Vashti, and Vashti is his queen. Ultimately, so she is, and she has her royalty taken from her. And Shaul is a king, and he has his royalty taken from him as well. And is being, in both cases, is given to the one who's better. The one who's better, interestingly enough, is going to be a Gaul Yisrael. Right? In both cases, we see both Shmuel, with both David and Esther, are people who are playing tremendous roles as the ones who are going to save the Jewish people. As the royalty who's saving the Jewish people, as the Moshiach. It's also a tremendous, tremendous reversal if you think about it. Our assumption is that Esther and Mordechai are related. At the very least, cousins, right? The Pasuk says as much, that they're both cousins. And they are both... Mordechai, right? Ben Yair ben Shimi ben Kish Ishimini. He is a person who is from Binyamin. Right? The son of Kish, right? Which is the same thing as saying is Beit Shaul. He's from the house and the line of Shaul HaMelech. Mordechai, and as a result Esther as well, both are from the line of the line of Shevet Binyamin. And as well they're both supposed to be the Moshiach. Shaul loses it, and Esther to a certain extent picks it up. There's another hello marker over here, because the villain in the story of Shmuel is Agag, and Haman is called the Agagi, right? He's not called the Amaleki. It's our connection that we say, oh, Shmuel is from, Haman is from Agag. Where else in Tanakh do we see Agag? Agag is the king of Amalek. The story has wrapped itself back over again that it's two children of Shaul HaMelech fighting the child of Haman. And in a wild sort of turn of events, she's inheriting the royalty from Shaul. Right, because the Malchus of Beis David isn't here right now. Even though in the Pasuk of Shmuel, the Pasuk in Shmuel, the idea is that it's going to David HaMelech. It's Reacha Hatov Mimeka, your fellow who is better than you. But still, you see that this Malchus is making its way, like, through historically, it's making this journey throughout the generations, till Esther is, and again, interestingly enough, Esther is Vatilbasha Esther Malchus. And Esther is wearing this garment, that same idea, in the same way Shaul has the Malchus torn from him as a garment. The garment is torn from Shaul, Esther is Loveshet Malchut. She's Loveshet Malchus. She puts on, again, this Malchus, the same turn of events of how she becomes the Moshe Yashel Yisrael. She becomes the one who's saving the Jewish people, she and Mordechai. But she's she's really doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. Mordechai in his way, and Esther in her way. If you look at it, there's a way to read it and understand that you have a bunch of different storylines moving through the Megillah as our two heroes are sort of moving through the Megillah also. Esther and her progression of who she is and who Mordechai is as well. You could sort of separate those two timelines. They cross over at one point or another, but they each have their own storyline, which is taking place throughout the Megillah. But Esther becomes the Moshe Yashel Yisrael. And it's very possible, if we just focus within the words of Tanakh, that it could be that Shaul loses the opportunity, and it ends up being placed at Esther's feet. As that same exact claim that the Malchus is being given to the fellow who's better. Re'acha Atov Mimecha. And then Esther is ultimately the one who causes the downfall of Haman, directly. The Agagi, the one who her great-grandfather couldn't defeat. That's an unbelievable turnabout of events. It's a tremendous, tremendous thing. And so you have this Moshiach aspect, this messianic aspect of the one who's saving the day, the hero. So on one hand it's David, but also it's sort of traveling throughout history. And now we'll come back to Shmuel Bar Nechmeni's exclamation of what is this sefer in front of us? We just said, oh, it's Megillas Esther. What do you mean? Megillas Esther, they tried to kill us, they failed, let's see. The book of that. He says, no, don't you understand? You know what this book is all about? Tachas ha-natsus yaleh v'rosh, v'tachas ha-sirpad yaleh hadas. And it's going to be an osla Hashem, osolam shelo yikares. That this entire story, that the bitter, poisonous plant is exchanged for the beautiful, fragrant plant. That there's this moving around of roles that's taking place. That's what the Megillah is all about. That's the major theme according to Shmuel Bar Nachmeni of the Megillah. If you listen carefully, even who is it? Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Right? Shmuel. He's the Baal Meimra. Right? He's the Baal Meimra. Shmuel is the one who says, the Malchus is being taken from you and is being given to someone else. Davka Shmuel. Right? Davka Shmuel. Bar Nachmeni as well. We hear Bar Nachmeni. It's a big nechama to understand that a person's fortune can be reversed. You think you're at the bottom, things can turn around. This idea of a personal reversal of lot, things turn around and turn around, that's a big nechama to understand that we understand that we're at one point, the person feels that in a low place, the role can be reversed. There's no, a person's not stuck in a certain lot. Bar Nachmeni. Shmuel. Unreal, right? Then the Baal Meimra himself. A person has to pay attention to the Baal Meimra, the people who say the different teachings in the Gemara, their names are their essence. They're rooted so much in this concept. Now let's look at Mara. So this is Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Pasach La Pischa La Hai Parsha Samahacha. So again, he brings the Meimra, tells us the entire story. Perish, davarzeh mimailas ha-megillah hazos. This is the mile of the Megillah. Ki min ha-megillah hazos yish lomo darkei Hashem yizbarach. That through this Megillah we can learn the ways of Hashem. Davar shuhu gadol me'od, a very, very big foundation. Shuhu yizbarach mechiras ha-reshayim umami b'makum ha-matzadikim. That he will sell off the reshayim and place in their place the tzadikim. Davarzeh who Hashem Yisbarach L'Hashem U'Tehila, and this is one of Hashem's biggest praises. Like it says, Tachas HaNatzutz. Ubirze, ki kashem Hashem yisbarach osin nakama be'oyevav. The same way that Hashem takes revenge on the enemies, on his enemies, kamo sha'asa be'faro, be'paro, be'sancherev, be'paro and sancherev, ve'chen kol oyevi Hashem yisbarach, and anyone who went against Hashem, darazel who kadosh shemo yisbarach. This is a kiddush Hashem. V'isgadalti v'isgadashti v'nodati le'enei agoyim rabim al nikmat Hashem yisbarach. In the same way, like he quotes the pasuk in Yecheskel, that I will be made great and I will be known throughout all of the nations of the world, because it's a pasuk which is talking about the Milchemes Gog u'Magog. It's also, by the way, what we say in Kaddish. V'isgadalti v'isgadashti is based on this pasuk. V'isgadalti v'isgadashti. V'indavrez is a kadosh shemo, is a kiddush Hashem. And we call shaken she mis kadosh shemo kasha osin nekama voyevav v'itein ohavav ohave shemo b'makom b'mkomam. And he places then as it were the haters, he places the lovers of Hashem in their name. V'davrez is maila yoser. This is a very, very great maila. Tachas anatsus yale v'rosha, tachas asirpad yale hadas. V'ayel Hashem lo os olam lo ikareis. And it'll be a sign for Hashem forever. It shall never be cut off. V'yod ki kasher Hashem yisbarach osin nekama v'oyevav. When Hashem does this nekama, v'yesh lahar her v'lomar ki b'mikra ba hamaka. So the person could say, well, it just sort of happened like that. Okay, it just sort of happened. Aval kasher ba tzadik b'makomo. Kamo ken yihye gam ken b'makom vashti ba Esther. B'makom haman ba Mordechai. Ein l'tolos davar mikra. He says, but not only that, you'll notice, and this is a very, very Maral thing to do, Maral says, it's not just like, I'm an Italian that's bored over here. But he has worked out throughout the entire Mamar Chazal. It's not just, okay, there's this one idea, oh, it's a nice part. He says, look, there's a coupling. And the prophetic style is always with these couplets. Tachas ha-na'atsus yale ha-varosh, tachas ha-sirpad yale ha-das. Right, so you have it's the same setup. You have a clause of two and two. There's a couplet of one, a couplet of the other. He said, well, the fact that Shmuel Bar Nachmani brings this up is to tell you that if you say you just have, you know, one Rasha falls and a Tzadik is in his place, okay, maybe. It could happen. But you're going to tell me now two Rishayim fall together at the same time? That's already pushing the bounds of probability just a little too hard. You're pushing it just a little too hard to say, oh yeah, it happens, right? It happens. Maral says it doesn't just happen like that. And therefore, lakach hayel Hashem l'shem. And therefore, it will be for Hashem, for renown, for l'shem, for a name. And the Midrash says, and this is going to make Hashem kiviyachol famous, right? La Hashem l'shem. This is the Kriyas Megillah. Shadavar zeh l'shem tifer shal Hashem yisbarach shemizeh no dash Hashem yisbarach eno ozev ezo ha'ovdim lo ve'eno mevater lo over ritzono. This is to tell us that Hashem doesn't leave us alone, doesn't forget us. He is not ozev ovdav. He does not like just leave, abandon those who are ovdei Hashem. And he isn't mevater. And he is not so easily forgiving those who are rebelling against him like that. That's why we say at the end of the Megillah, Shoshanas Yaakov, right? Salam v'tzimecha v'kipiros miyachat tcheles Mordechai. And then all the arrows, all the barachs, lehodia shekol kovecha lo yevosha lo yikamu l'netzach. To tell us that those who are looking to you, those who are hoping to Hashem, will not be abandoned and not be embarrassed forever. And that ultimately you're going to see. La'os olam, forever a sign. Lo yikaret, that will never be wiped out. These are the days of Purim, because the days of Purim, Eno sham rak Hashem hu bekriyas Megillah. Ki shem ksuvim chol maasim zel shem l'tiferes. Aval perm atzmo, perm itself, shehu yimei simcha, eno rak ospil vat. It's not just a sign. Vimei perm, eno nira davar beferish, rak shehu shem simim bil vat. Ozelu yikaris. So yishlecha la'avin ezemot. And you should understand this very, very well. That these days of perm, it's not just a day. It's something which is all encompassing. These Yimei Purim. It's not just a sign. It's not something. It's just like something that just happens to be on the calendar. It's not just one day. But this is a matter. It's a very, very great matter of Emunah. It's a great matter of understanding. The Purim's adoption into the Jewish calendar is not something else. Yeah, there's Jewish people, we were in trouble, we got saved. Listen, we got saved. We got saved, and all of a sudden, like, everybody who's at the bottom is now on the top. This is something which is a very, very, very big deal. It's talking about life. That's why Shmuel Bar Nachmani wants to explain the Megillah in this way. That this reversal is sort of like, this story, the truth is it's a story like we see, that it's not just Vashti and Vashti and Esther, but even Shlomo HaMelech and Esther. It's this entire long, long, long game that of how all the different pieces move together. And this is L'Osu L'Shem, that this is the way God runs His world. And this is a tremendous, tremendous picture, trying to explain how all of these details in the are part of a long, 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 long game that God has. A long plan. It's not even just visible in one generation. We see how long is it from Shaul to Esther. It's a lot of generations. It's a long, long time. But the Megillah is such where you have these call-outs, Ben Kish, Agagi, you have Tov Mimena, Mimeka, Mimecha, Mimena. Right, this wordplay, the Mordechai and Esther when they're writing the Megillah saw this as it's not just a current events thing. It wasn't just a here and now thing. It's a story which took hundreds of years to unfold. Right, that's what Maharal is saying. And as a result, we have to understand that Agag even thought he could get away. That's why we read Parsha Zachar now. You don't need Parsha Zachar now. You don't need to read Parsha Zachar specifically now. Truth is that you can tell the story of Amalek in Beshalach. You can tell the story of Amalek in Kisetse. We have yet another reading, right? We have yet another reading. And not only that, we decide to do it the week before Purim. And they get up and bang on the bima and they say, it's a mitzvah d'oraisa to hear this kriya. A mitzvah d'oraisa to hear this kriya. Okay. So why are we doing it right now? Like, what does this have to do with Adar? Chronologically, when did it happen in the Jewish calendar? When did it happen? Come on. After what? Well, so Milchamas Amalek, when did it happen in the Chumash?
It happened right after they came out.
Right after.
Before?
Before. It happened Parsha. I just said it. Beshalach. Right. Parsha's Beshalach. So what happened Parsha's Beshalach? Oh my. Oh dear.
When they came out of
Mitzrayim,
Kriyat Yamsuf, and
right, Kriyat Yamsuf, the man, right?
And then
Melchamed Amalek, and then what happened right after? What's the next parsha right after Melchamed Amalek? Parsha with a Y. Yes, sir. Yes. Right, there we go. Back to Parsha Penina for you. Right. Parshas Yisro comes and assuming, like, again, we're making a bunch of assumptions, but assuming Yisro and then Matan Torah, right? Matan Torah. So we have Kriyas Yamsuf, Nechamas Amalek, Yisro, Matan Torah. What time of the year is that in our Jewish calendar?
Sivan,
maybe. Yeah. Well, Matan Torah is Sivan, that's correct. But Yitro, depending when we figure out when he comes. When is Kriyas Yamsuf?
Nisan.
What day? It's okay, you can say something wrong.
Yudalit
is...
Yudalit was the
Korban,
no?
Yeah, Korban Pesach is Yudalit, right? So
the seventh day.
Exactly, Shvi Shel Pesach is Kriyas Yamsuf. So it's seven days after the actual Yitzia from Mitzrayim, right? So the actual Yitzia is on the 15th day of the month of Nisan, because the Seder is 15th at night, and the 15th and then in the morning. Right? We go out, we start going. At 15th, 7 days later, we put it at like the 22nd day of the month of Nisan. That's Shvi Shel Pesach. Well, you trade around a little bit, maybe there's another Shabbos, and then what happens is Milchamas Amalek. Milchamas Amalek is the end of Nisan. Right? Assuming somewhere around the end of Nisan, maybe the beginning of Iyar, middle of Sfiras Omer, interestingly enough. Right? So if we're trying to remember some type of historical event, when will we do this? When should we do this kriya of Milchamas Amalek? Probably like in Iyar. That's probably when Shabbos Zachar should probably be then.
Yeah.
So why do we do it then?
Because that was the month that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. I don't know.
Okay. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. Why not?
Because that's when... Okay, forget it.
So we put it next to Purim for a reason. We do this Kriya of Amalek right before Purim. So we say, Shabbos Zohar, because, you know, Amalek is Haman. Oh, yeah, you're so sure. Who says Amalek is Haman? Well, everybody knows. How do they know? Right, Agagi. Yeah, so that makes more sense now. But up until that point, you know, no idea, right? Well, there's a whole story which is unfolding. Right? There's a whole story which is unfolding. Therefore, it only makes the most sense to put it next to Purim. Why? Because this is part of a longer story. If you believe that all the action of the Megillah only happened in the Megillah, the Megillah, like I said, is a culmination of a story a long time in coming. The fall of Vashti. Vashti is the granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Do we understand all the people that are over here? Why is Vashti the wife of Achashverosh?
So Esther
could take her place? That's definitely set up there.
And more of a turnaround.
Exactly, and what does it take for her to actually be in such a position, though? Because there's a why isn't someone from her father's line the king of the entire empire? Right? Why isn't she, if she's a granddaughter of Nebuchadnezzar? But we just said this is Malchus Parasumadai. What happened to Bavel?
Why not her mother?
No, you know, she's the Queen of England over here. I mean, like, why is she the queen of Persia?
Maybe there was no one left from Persia.
Of course, there's no one left. Why?
Because
there are natural causes?
No, from the... I don't know.
Well, I mean, we went from the Iraqis to the Iranians over here, right? We went from Babel to Persia. That should be indicative of something. There was a great empire that destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. And then what happened to them? Whatever was left of their yichus is now in a very weird, strange relationship to now the emperor of this upstart kingdom. Right? She's the nobility of a different empire. And he wants her, it would seem, he wants her to degrade herself in front of everybody and dance naked in front of them. We could go back and forth about what her morality would have been about, that whether or not it was something acceptable or not. Let's roll with the understanding that maybe normally for most noble women it was not a thing to do, right? It was not a thing.
I feel like for her though it would be.
Well, that there's that side of it, which is the other end of the agate, by the tail and the green and the green and the yeah. pimples, the whole thing. But leaving it aside for a moment, what are the implications of taking a noble woman of a different empire and forcing her to dance in front of everybody? Would that be like a demonstration of your conquest, literally? No. I've conquered you, I rule over you. That's a different sides about how we would understand the rest of the of those midrashim and how what they add to and how they're explaining what's going on over there. But what's happening over here? So right, so he takes the queen, he makes her dance in front of them. Why? They should see what prize he has.
Yeah.
Right? Because Achashverosh said, I'm now the king of the world. If her grandfather, right, Nebuchadnezzar was around, would he dare to do such a thing to Nebuchadnezzar's granddaughter? Not at all. Right? So, understand the turn of fortunes that's going on over here. Right? Understand what has just transpired. The one who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, the most powerful man in the world, his granddaughter is now trying to be forced to be danced naked at a party. Right? That's a turn of fate. That's a twist of fate. So she, and even if we, even to say that she's a queen and she makes her own, she has royalty also, let's not forget. Gam Vashti Amaka Astam Ishte. She made a party. She's celebrating something. What she's celebrating is another story, leaving the midrashim on the side to understand. She made a party also to show that it seems that she has some royalty over here. And then there's this downward fall, right? Now that Esther, the daughter of the rejected king of Israel, Shaul Hamalek's great-great-granddaughter, right? Now it's all of a sudden going to inherit the royalty. And not only that, is really going to become the motivator and the driving force between the entire Persian Empire. As we see, she's the one who calls the shots. She might use diplomacy. She doesn't tell Ahasuerus what to do, what she suggests. And towards the end, you start to see her really actually starting to give orders. And he's like, you hear him sort of falling all over himself to, what else do you want me to do? Right? It's a fascinating turn of events. Purim is... He says that Purim, it's not just the turnabout of events. That's the first part of the pasuk. Tachas ha'na'atzus ya'aleh v'rosh v'tachas ha'tzirpad ya'aleh hadas. But it's also going to be la'shem lo yikare. It's an enduring sign of the historical Kadosh Baruch Hu throughout history, how he's running the world in this long destiny type game, this destiny type plan. Fantastic idea. That's why. So he says it's not just a yontif. It's an os, right? It's an os. Like tefillin is an os, and Shabbos is an os, and Yom Tov is an os. It's an os. It's a sign between us. I'm telling you something. I'm telling you about to believe in a long plan, generations long, hundreds of years long. fantastic message. It's a fantastic, fantastic message. Shkayach, so we should be able to hold on to the Yos, be strengthened by the Yos, think about what it means. It's interesting, guys are supposed to wear tefillin while they're here in the Megillah for that reason also, because you're supposed to bring those two osios together. It also says it's a sasun. We should be married to, my daughter always says, I end up going too long when I try to end off a shir. She's like, you get that tone like you're ending off, and then you just keep going, right? So that's like a fake out. We should be married to hear the os. We should merit to hear to take the sign, that we should embrace the sign and take its message with us. It's not just the day, it's not just the story, it's something bigger than that. Thank you.
Is there any? What time is it?
7:30 and 10:00.